WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The striking machinists at Boeing are still striking, the union rejecting the company's latest offer, which included 35% pay raises over 4 years and $7,000 signing bonuses, but did not include restoring the company's pension plan, which was eliminated a decade ago. Charles Froemming, one of the machinists, asking of his bosses.
They get their pension, don't they? CEOs get $100 million worth of stock options when they retire. It's costing them billions a month. It's costing me thousands.
12 days until the election. Kamala Harris telling a CNN town hall last night she agrees with Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, who says Trump fits the definition of a fascist. Trump calls Kelly a total degenerate who made up the story. The Justice Department warning Elon Musk that his $1 million giveaway to registered voters might possibly be a violation of election law. The first lawsuit against McDonald's has been filed by a man who says he was infected with E. coli after eating a quarter pounder in Colorado. This is ABC News. Terror charges in Arizona against a teenager.
The teen is accused of plotting an attack at last weekend's Phoenix Pride Parade in the name of the terror group ISIS, according to Maricopa County prosecutors. Authorities say the teen allegedly participated in online chat rooms, including discussing what supplies are needed to make an improvised explosive device. Then authorities say he had those ingredients shipped to him. County prosecutors credited investigators and law enforcement partners for their hard work on the case. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Thousands of bottles of the popular antidepressant Cymbalta are being recalled. Some have elevated levels of a toxic chemical in them. All the details are at abcnews.com. Seeing the World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers on either coast in person could leave an Aaron Judge-sized hole in your wallet. The average resale price for a ticket game one tomorrow in L.A., $1,700. The lowest price for a ticket to game three in New York, $1,500. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It's Halloween at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Saturday night, October 26th, starting at 8:30. Live music with Honey Shot. Win $400 with the Lazy Oaf Costume Contest. Must be present to win. Plus $4 cherry bombs, $2.75 cans of Bud Light and Miller Lite, and $2 off Tito's Double Mixers. It's Halloween at the Lazy Oaf Lounge in Madison, North Stoughton Road. For details, follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Much of the Badger State is still in high fire danger. In fact, in some parts of central and northeastern Wisconsin, the risk is now considered very high. Here's Brittany Merlot.
There have been 72 wildfires across Wisconsin in the past week, burning a total of 925 acres. Most of them were started by equipment like mowing operations, RVs, and more. But burning debris, even when it's been banned, has still been happening. Don't do it. One spark, even as small as a cigarette butt, can start a fire.
We're getting into cold and flu season. Extra hand washing and dry air can lead some to develop eczema. Dr. Abigail Tao, a Spirus dermatologist.
People with eczema tend to have more inflammation at the skin layer. So it presents with dry, itchy, scaly, rashy skin.
She says it's critical to take care of that dry skin. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Bucks win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks won their season opener in Philly, 124-109. Did they get a break since the 76ers' Paul George and Joel Embiid were both out with knee injuries? Doc Rivers.
No, I mean, we didn't have Chris, you know, which is one of our key guys. But we're not worried about the opponent right now, honestly. We're more worried about how we play.
The Bucks host the Bulls tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers host number 3-ranked Penn State Saturday night. Luke Fickell on facing that tough Nittany Lions defensive front.
They're going to move all around. They've got really, really good athletes. I think, obviously, that's where the strength of their team is.
NFL Matt LaFleur inviting his close friend and former Jets head coach Robert Saleh to practice. Will Saleh be joining the coaching staff?
It's pretty fluid. You know, I think it's important for him to spend time, obviously, with his family. So he's staying through Thursday and going back on Friday.
The Packers play the Jaguars in Jacksonville Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clear skies, mid-30s in the overnight. Our winds will be light. On Thursday, we'll see quite a bit of sunshine to start the day, but some clouds on the way in the afternoon. Highs in the middle 60s. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 34.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight from the show Outrageous Pumpkins, Wisconsin's own Carly Ide joins the show. Then we talk jack-o'-lantern days in Fish Creek and our popcorn pick of the week with Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show this morning.
Good morning.
It's not as cold as a lot of people think it is. I don't know, that's a weird.
Is that a?
It's a weird statement.
It is odd. What do you? Well, what I mean, do you think
we have all these conflicting temperatures when we initially check first thing here in the morning.
Yeah.
And you know, one is like 32 degrees, which can't possibly be true.
Well,
because I'm not slipping, sliding on any ice that I know of.
Well, there was some talk of some frost earlier this morning.
Well, frost is, you know, just it's scattered wherever there's a low spot.
Yeah, we've had temperatures. I mean, I've checked three different places, got three different temperatures, 32, so 36, 42.
So we're giving up. We're not giving the temperature on this station anymore.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Give up.
If we can't get a reliable source.
All we need is a thermometer outside the window there. You know, regular
old. How are we going to get it up there? We're on the second
Sam,
floor.
Sam, that's your problem. Yeah. You're the producer.
Aren't you the building climber?
Do I need to, like.
You can climb up the building and then put a suction cupped temperature gauge out there on the window.
Get a big ladder.
What? Are we asking too much here?
Lower a rope from the roof and crawl down?
Yes, there you go.
Is that a truck over there? Is that a fire truck?
It's a garbage truck.
Oh, it's a garbage truck.
Did you think another bank heist was going on?
I don't know. There was all kinds of, it had all kinds of flashing lights all over. I didn't think that it was a garbage truck.
No, that's an idea right there. What? Bank heist using a garbage truck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these guys over here on Johnson, you know, they have the garbage truck next to the parking ramp that we drive into and park in.
Right.
And these guys are just get out there and they open the car door up, the truck door up, and they get out right in the middle of the street. You know, I'm tooling down Johnson.
Yeah.
Not too fast. I'm a little over the
speed. John, you're a maniac driver.
Well, you know, people, okay. All right. Let's get that word out so these guys don't just hop out of their cab and suddenly appear in front of my car. Okay.
Well, it's like 5:45 in the morning. There's not a ton of people driving then.
They have to understand that,
that
they
John
just can't
Peterson
do that.
Is out on the streets.
That's right.
Yeah, look out. Look out for Johnny.
This area only.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, back to the weather for a moment. All right. We're approximating that it's 36 degrees this morning. We're compromising.
No.
What? Well, what does your watch say?
It said 42 degrees.
42.
Yeah.
It's not 42. Everything else is in the 30s.
It is 42.
All right.
Isn't it?
No, it was cold.
Come on, folks.
Okay.
It didn't feel that cold.
Really? 36? You don't think it felt that cold?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's find out what the afternoon high will be for today. Let's get the lottery balls out and fire up the machine. What is your
35 in Middleton, it says on my watch.
Okay. All right.
But that's not the official temperature.
High temperature. First ball, it says 6.
All right.
Second ball, it says 363 for a high today. What does your watch say?
I'm more than willing to believe that. It says the high of 64 today.
So,
yeah,
we're close.
It says, look at this. What's that number in there? 41?
41.
Looks like 41 to you, doesn't it?
Okay. You and your watch.
It's called a smartwatch. It probably is a lot smarter than both of us.
Probably.
Combined.
Yeah, no kidding. Here it is Thursday. So a little bit later on, we'll have Busted Pencils with us in about a half hour.
Wait for that.
Yeah, about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes. They'll be here. And Jim Rice, Green Bay Packer historian, speaker, author.
He's not just your average Packer historian, though. He's written about every single game the Packers have ever played.
Every game.
Yeah.
Every single game he knows something about.
He's got a number of books out there on Amazon, The Rivalry and the Players and Coaches Who Came to the Packers.
Did you even look at the press release that I put in front of where you sit?
Another book is the 33 NFL Championship Games Before the Super Bowls. Another book is Here Are the 13 Greatest Seasons in Franchise History. And another one, 92 Years, The Rivalry Between the Packers and Everybody Else, 1921 to 2019.
I didn't realize he'd written so many books.
Yeah, they're all out there.
He's prolific, yes. So he'll be joining us a little bit later on. Let's get to the National Day Calendar, shall we? Are you ready for that or not? Or do you want to talk about something else?
No, that's
fine. Sure?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I know Jim Rice likes all those old Packer songs, so we'll be playing a bunch of them.
Okay. Is it or is it not? This is a really short list this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it or is it not National Bologna Day? Is it National Food Day? Or is it National Pinstripe Day? What is
That's
it not?
That's one of the dumbest. National Food Day. Well, that's pretty specific.
Well, which one is it not? No.
Well,
Bologna Day, Food Day, or Pinstripe Day? Which day is it not?
Well, I'm going to say that bologna is important.
Are you? Why?
Bologna isn't bologna?
Because it's so strange. And but it's not National Food Day.
It is National Food Day. You are wrong.
How is it even possible? It's a little encompassing, isn't it? What?
Yeah, it is National Food Day.
I stand to be corrected on that one.
Sam, do you care to guess? I mean, there's only three choices here.
Not Pinstripe Day. What a silly day that is.
Well, I don't know. It just came to me.
They're all silly days.
You're correct. You're correct. It is not National Pinstripe Day.
Jeez.
Yeah. But it is National Bologna Day. That starts the National Day calendar for today.
Hold on a second.
What?
If people, were tuning in and they're just turning off their radios, going into work, and think, oh, my God. Or... they're trying to pick out their clothing, and you say it's National Pinstripe Day.
Yeah.
And everybody's walking around with pinstripes today. You would have caused that chaos in town today.
Okay. Is that really chaos? What's so wrong with stripes?
Yeah, pinstripes are, I have a pinstripe shirt. You don't have anything pinstriped?
No.
Okay.
No, it kind of went out of style in the 40s?
I think so. All right. Well, let's get back to National Bologna Day.
Pinstripes.
Or Bologna Day.
Bologna.
Bologna.
Bologna. Yeah.
This would be a good day to have a bologna sandwich for lunch. Sometimes this specialty meat. Specialty meat.
Yeah, that's a real specialty.
Yeah. It's spelled.
The leftovers.
Sometimes it's spelled bologna, since that's how many people pronounce it. However, the most common spelling is Bologna. B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Like the town, right? Bologna?
Yeah. That's because it originated in the city of Bologna, Italy.
I don't know.
Bologna. Anyway, it originated in Italy.
Yes.
The type of sausage, is similar to an Italian mortadella. The finely ground pork or beef sausage or combination is smoked and cured in Italy. Bologna includes a variety of spices not found in American bologna. And in fact, in the U.S., regulations require American bologna to be finely ground and without visible lard pieces. It hardly resembles anything found in Italy.
Yeah.
It can also be made from chicken, turkey, venison, or soy protein.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bologna.
yeah.
leftover.
Well,
meat
American from. Bologna is the remnants of an animal.
Yeah.
Put into a food form.
Yeah, I don't really want to know what it is. Do you?
No, I mean, it's not Braunschweiger.
No, it's not.
So it's a solid form of Braunschweiger.
It's kind of like hot dogs. You don't want to know what's in it.
Yeah, you don't want it's in it. Yeah. All right.
Okay, National Food Day. This is the day that you don't want to talk about.
Well, it's...
It's kind of a broad theme.
Every day has food in it, some National Food Day of some sort.
Well,
National Food Day is kind of encompassing. It's kind of generic to the point where...
Well, they're trying to...
My eyes glazed over just hearing it.
Well, what they want is they want people to focus on healthy and nutritious foods on National Food Day.
Why isn't it National Healthy Foods Day?
I don't know. You'll have to ask the National Day Calendar people. One of the themes on the day...
Well, I'm calling them right now.
Okay. One of the themes of the day... aims to help people to eat real today. This theme is defined as cutting back on sugar drinks, overly salted packaged foods, and fatty factory farmed meats in favor of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and sustainably raised protein.
That's right.
So eat healthy food today.
Yes. Just today.
Okay. Yeah, and that's it for the National Day calendar.
It's pretty fantastic.
What's going on in history?
What a great day that is.
Open up the history book, Sam.
Yeah, I'm getting to it.
I thought you dozed off there for a minute.
Haven't fallen asleep yet.
He was trying to pick out the food that he wants to pick out for today. The food. It's quite general right now.
I should take food day to heart. I need to eat healthier.
Really? You don't eat healthy? Are you a snack guy like most?
No,
most
I just
men
don't eat a lot
guys.
Of vegetables. I don't have a lot of variety in my diet. It's a lot of sandwiches and chicken because it's the cheapest meat you can buy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, chicken is the best. I mean, you know, it's not fatty. It's got protein in it. So
true.
It's a good choice. Yet, you're not a snack guy then, really? You don't buy the chips and the Cheetos?
Not chips, but granola bars and, like, snack bars. And my parents make a lot of banana chips. So whenever I'm home, I'll take home a ton of banana chips.
Banana chips?
Yeah.
Banana chips?
What? I call it the YMCA food bank. My dad works at a YMCA, and at the end of the week, the child care center at the Y gets rid of like all of their food that's going to go bad over the weekend, and he takes almost all of it and either freezes it or with like bananas, he'll dehydrate them and make banana chips.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds much better.
Yeah.
Do you like the banana chips?
Oh, yeah.
Does it taste like bananas? My wife got some of these banana chips, but they fry them in coconut oil, which is not very good. I mean,
fried.
Yeah, they're very hard and very thick and heavy and just awful. God, awful. Huh. I do want to mention, though, you mentioned the bars that you eat.
Yeah. Right?
There's this thing going on with these food bars now. They're putting a lot of protein in them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's their latest rage is protein in these, you know, quick candy bars that you can get. Not candy bars, but granola bars.
Okay.
So, yeah. Check that out. I mean, this is the whole thing that's happening. Yeah.
Okay.
You get your protein that way. You need protein.
Protein's important.
Well, I do.
I'm pointing at him.
Wait, what's the matter now?
Because, you know, you need some protein.
Okay. I'll get some protein.
Jeez.
Why are you honing in on that?
Well, I'm only honing in it because I'm also in the same category. Wow. We're older individuals.
Yes. And more protein.
Our bodies need more protein
because
it doesn't absorb as quickly or easily.
That's right.
So we just need a supplement all the way through the... Do we have time for your birthdays and stuff?
No, we blew right through it.
Sam will have a look at the history book and birthdays coming up on the John and Gordy Show in the morning here. It is 6:18, 92.7 WMDX.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, if you're leaving a job, unless it's like truly a terrible worst case scenario, it's a good practice to leave your job on the best terms possible. I mean, you never know what or who you might need later. So here are my four steps for leaving a job without burning a bridge. Number one, start by talking first to your direct manager. Now, you don't have to go into great detail about why you're leaving or what you're gonna do next, but a when you're leaving and some version of a why should be in there. And 2 weeks notice is the polite minimum standard for leaving a job. Step two, email your resignation to HR and include your end date. Step three, now if you are a manager, your direct reports should be the next folks you talk to after you and your boss have put together a plan. And finally, do the best work you can so you leave on the best terms possible. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Madison, it's the John and Gordy Show. Welcome. Good morning.
Hey.
Rise and shine, shake a leg, up and at 'em, top of the morning to you. Temperature's 36 degrees. We're going to flip those digits right around, and our high will be 63.
Wow, that's pretty fancy stuff.
Thank you.
You really expanded on our weather forecast. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Let's get to the birthdays today.
Birthdays.
And history.
I didn't even put any birthdays down.
Then look at the history.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at history instead.
All right. What happened on this
today? Today in 1861, the very first transcontinental telegraph line was completed.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What a day that must have been.
Yeah. Well, you get a message all the way across the country and like that. Yeah.
Well, didn't they have cell phones back then?
Yeah, 1861.
Yeah, sure. Just pick up the phone and call somebody, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Today in 1901, the first successful drop over Niagara Falls in a barrel was completed.
Annie Edson Taylor.
Yeah.
I think she did it several times.
Now you got to think of why a barrel.
Why?
Why?
What would you pick? Would you go over in a boat?
Well, why not? It's, you know.
Well, in the barrel, it was all padded, you know.
Right.
They made a custom size like barrel.
They did.
Have either of you been to Niagara Falls?
Oh, yeah.
How
been there a couple
far
of, times.
Of a drop is it? Do you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
It's not that far.
No, it's a couple hundred feet or
I would think
right?
So, yeah. A couple hundred feet.
Jeez.
It's
please.
Nothing. Yeah. It's nothing.
It's nothing. Have you ever been there, John?
I have not.
During the next commercial, I'm going to do the math and see how fast you'd be falling by the time you hit the water because it's.
I'll tell you, the Canadian side is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Canadian, absolutely gorgeous. You go to the American side, it's all commercialized. There's neon signs, all kinds of lights at night. Oh, it's like, you know, flash. I mean, it's like Vegas on the American side.
On the Canadian side, do they have the ability to stay there?
Oh, yeah.
They have hotels, but it's not flashy.
It's not, no. At least the last time I was there, it was not that flashy.
The thing is, I don't know, does anybody know what's at the bottom? Of the falls?
Well, there are rocks. It's like the bottom
of any waterfall.
No, I mean, well, what do you mean? You know, it wears away after a certain amount
what
of time.
What is there?
Those
you think
boulders.
Like a buried treasure or something?
No, I'm just buried treasure. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know, every once in a while when it's really, really cold, it freezes up.
It might be deep.
Yeah.
Of
course it's deep.
At the bottom of that fall.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You're just saying that there are big rocks down there and making me look like an idiot. I'm just saying. I think it's deep. It's not hard.
Okay, what else is going on?
Let's see. Today in 1929, it's the anniversary of the beginning of the 1929 stock market crash. Black Thursday, and then that was succeeded by Black Monday and Black Tuesday week.
Well,
when everything came crashing down.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, you know, us, of course, capitalizing on the big sales days.
Yeah. Everyone's going out of business, so everything's on sale.
Well, you said Black Thursday, but then
that's right.
You said Black Friday. Monday. Yeah, but Friday.
Yeah, you skipped
Friday. I think like the next day in 1929, things kind of held steady, but then after the weekend, they took another nosedive.
Should play Black Friday by Steely Dan. Just a suggestion.
Get it pulled up.
Never mind.
You don't have to do that.
Today, 1940, the 40-hour work week goes nationwide. It was the Fair Labor Standards Act.
Okay.
We have to do away with that.
Yeah, get rid of it. We don't need it, right?
The Project 2025 does get away with it.
People can work as long as they want to.
Does it go down to 4 days?
No, they actually.
That's what it should be.
It's how many hours you put in all week long, and that's 7 days a week. It's not 40 hours a week, 5 days a week. It's accumulated hours throughout the entire week, so they can make you work on the weekend, and you get no overtime. There's no such thing as overtime in Project 2025.
Yeah.
So they're doing away with something we established in 1940. They're erasing history, okay? They're taking it out. All the movements that we had gone through, Gordy.
I know.
In the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they're getting rid of
all
it
the gains, all of them. Yeah.
I bet you they want to go back to the 1890s before they even had income tax also. They'd probably be happy to get rid of that.
Yeah, probably so. Or at least for the wealthy.
Yeah.
Anything else happen on this date?
I'm guessing that neither of you have, but have either of you ever flown on a Concorde jet?
No.
Oh, my God, no.
Sure, it was super expensive.
Plenty expensive.
Well, yeah. I would assume.
Like $2,000 a ticket or something like that.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, and especially 20 years ago when they made their last flight, $2,000 was even more expensive. But today in 2003, the Concorde made its final flight across the Atlantic.
Oh, sad day.
It was designed kind of odd.
I think it was the nose design.
Pointed down.
Yeah. Yeah, but it looked really cool. It was but it didn't seat that many people.
Like a wasp.
it looked like a wasp.
It looked like a goofy paper airplane.
Right?
Yeah, a bad one.
Yeah.
a bad paper airplane.
Yeah. Guess it wasn't making much money though. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
Shut it down. I thought they were going to bring it back. I thought there was talk they were going to redesign it and have a new Concorde.
Well, I should hope that they would redesign it. I mean, it first came around in the 70s, right? I don't want to be flying on a 50-year-old jet.
Why don't they do what they do to all of these old vehicles, train cars, create a restaurant out of it?
What's the place down? Is it in Dodgeville that they have that plane out front? In the Don Q Inn?
Yes, the Don Q Inn.
Don't they have a plane out there?
You know, I drove by there.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's open yet. Is that open?
Oh, I think so.
I don't know if it is.
Well, that's a good question. I think it did shut down for a while during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It never opened after that. The Don Q is out there.
It'd been there for a long time.
I wonder if it's haunted.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
But yeah. We should.
What is this place?
The Don Q Inn in Dodge. It's Dodgeville, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't been to
Dodgeville. I drove by there.
Computer, tell me about the Don Q Inn in Dodgeville.
It had...
From onmilwaukee.com. The Don Q Inn in Dodgeville has been in business since 1974.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay thanks.
That's all we got.
That's it.
Did they have like sadomasochistic rooms in there?
I think they had special rooms.
They had special rooms, right?
Yes, yes. They had special honeymoon suites. Yes, I don't know what you want to call it.
Oh, yeah. Torture chambers.
And they had a plane out front. That was what the point was. They had a plane.
Yeah, look, there's a plane. Let's go to the room. Look, a plane.
Gosh, really? Okay. Okay, well, time to take a break here.
No one ever talks about Don Q Inn. That's the reason why I thought it might have been closed.
Yeah, if anybody out there knows anything about it, send us a text on the Civic Media app. Coming up next, Idiocracy right around the corner. Oh, wait, no. We have Busted Pencils, don't we?
We do. Busted Pencils is coming up next.
Dr. Tim and Dr. John.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin farmers are reflecting on the challenges they face this growing season and harvest season and are already setting their sights on improvements for the 2025 growing season. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and looking ahead, Dr. Sean Conley, University of Wisconsin Extension soybean specialist, emphasizes the importance of cover crops.
I mean, I think the number one thing I'm really thinking about is, you know, kind of how the farmers are going to be able to respond in 2025. We're coming off of the last 5 years. I think we've had 3 years of record yields as well as record revenue generation for farmers. But then we start looking at, you know, what I usually use as an indicator is how our used equipment selling. And we're seeing used equipment being sold right now at 20% of what it was last year. So that kind of gives us an indicator that, well, next year and the next couple of years are going to be tough on our farmers in terms of the economics.
That's Dr. Sean Conley, University of Wisconsin Extension soybean specialist, along with us. I'll have a look at your morning markets right after this.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your morning markets. December corn is trading at 419 and three quarters. That's down three quarters. November soybeans are trading at 1003 and a quarter. That's up five and three quarters. December wheat is trading at 579 and a quarter, that is up three quarters, and July 2025 wheat is trading at 615, and that is up a penny. On the dairy side of things now, November Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2028 a hundredweight, that is down 12 cents, and December Class 3 milk contract is trading at 2058 a hundredweight, up 14 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 190 and three quarters. That was down a quarter. 40-pound block cheese closed yesterday at 192. That was up 3 cents. And the double A butter closed yesterday at 265 and a half, and that was down 2 1/4 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clear skies, mid-30s in the overnight. Our winds will be light. On Thursday, we'll see quite a bit of sunshine to start the day, but some clouds on the way in the afternoon. Highs in the middle 60s. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 34.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Host of Rational Revolution, Mark Becker, in with a big announcement. And friend of the show, Matt Flynn, looking at the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Heavy Beer, the beer for drinkers who just don't get enough calories in their regular beer. Ed's Heavy Beer has so many calories that you'll gain 15 pounds just from blowing off the foam.
Sounds like a good good thing to know.
This portion of the John and
Seven.
What?
WNDX. Just wanted to get the call letters in quick.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. This portion of the show is also brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress, available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com.
And every Thursday morning at this time, we go back to Busted Pencils, our favorite education program that used to be here on in the evenings. Now we're giving you a chance to hear them early in the mornings, a whole half hour. And Dr. Jim Schleicher is with us this morning. Dr. Johnny is gone.
Dr. Tim.
Tim. Did I say Jim? I'm thinking of our other guest. Jim Rice later on.
Okay.
I got too many names in front of me. Anyway, Dr. Johnny's out yet this week.
But right. He's a hockey coach, and when you're coaching hockey, getting ice time is one of those things that you kind of take it when you can. So that's what he's doing.
Oh, okay.
Good deal.
All right. We always talk about your latest drop as far as podcasts are concerned. And this time you guys are talking about a book, Thrive in a Public School by Alan Levy. And a lot of interesting points during this podcast, which I already listened to. And one of them is the education level in public school. What do you learn, right? What are you learning in public schools?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You don't think any learning's occurring in public schools?
Well, I think
you're going to jump on that same conservative bandwagon that says, you know, what is your kids learning?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
So is that that's the theme of this book, though?
That's right.
Like what are they getting out of it? Yeah.
Alan Levy, this is a 19-year kind of reminiscing of his career being a high school social studies teacher in Horlick High School and all of the work he did with the students there. A lot of it focusing on helping these students, largely minority students, largely Hispanic minority, find their way through an institution that typically doesn't see them as whole bright students, but as students that need to be fixed because, you know, they're immigrant, they're undocumented. And so school typically serves as this way to what we would say socialize kids and get them ready to be an American. And that whole concept can sometimes be looked at and saying, but what's wrong with the kids as they are? And in fact, maybe if we take them and understand their realities, we can help them really actually become advocates for their own place in society. And through his 19 years there, and what we talk about in the podcast real quickly is some episodes where he helped students in high school organize around issues that advocated for them to have a better future. And that's kind of outside the academic realm of going, but aren't they supposed to be learning calculus and science and things like that? And what is this guy doing helping students organize and advocate for their citizenship and things like that? You sit there and go, well, shouldn't school really be about preparing students to take their place in the real world when they leave and have those skills? And isn't what Alan's doing with these students helping them actually become awesome participating citizens when they leave the school, and that they're not just receptors of how things are, quote, supposed to be?
Yeah. Well, right now, the Republicans, in fact, Trump has mentioned it a number of times, they want to get back to reading, writing, and arithmetic, the R's. They need to know how to spell, too.
But anytime you hear that, too, just understand for listeners out there, too, what that really means is they're trying to say, hey, we need to get back to when schools actually taught kids how to do some real learning.
Yeah.
You know, reading, writing, arithmetic. They don't need to learn all this fluffy stuff. Actually, That in itself is a form of an indoctrination, which is we want schools to actually teach kids to be complacent little learners that are told what to do, and then to realize that when they go into the world, their job is to pay attention, follow directions, follow the rules, wow, and sit down and shut up. So you hear reading, writing, arithmetic. We need to get back to that. What people are saying is we want schools to make kids complacent and shut the heck up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an indoctrination.
It is. It is. And, you know, now I'm thinking back. That's what it was like when I was a kid. And yeah, I mean, I grew up with that.
We all did, and that story should be very familiar to anybody who went to some form of public schooling in America, which is schooling is largely about saying, you know, preparing you to go to work. What are you going to do when, what are you going to do when you grow up? It's typically not, I'm going to change the world by creating a social organization that's going to learn how to put together the rights of, you know, dolphins, and we're going to save the world with dolphins. No, it's like, well, I'm going to be... you're going to get a job. You know, yeah. That's the purpose of schooling, is to get a job. And it is to an extent, but isn't schooling also to be about developing the citizen part of the student that's going to go out and take their place in the world? And when you do that, guess what? Reading, writing, and arithmetic are the things that you use to teach, but there's substance to what it is we're trying to teach students, and we give them real-world experiences. That's what Alan's doing with the students at Horlick High School, giving them reading, writing, arithmetic, mm-hmm, but then having them apply reading, writing, arithmetic to real social situations.
There's a real connection, you know, with society if you do teach that. And of course, he was a history teacher, and the idea that, you know, this history connection to the past is right, what really counts and energizes anybody who reads history wants to get involved in it, want to understand the human condition, essentially. Right. I think, and everybody is attracted to that.
Everybody's attracted. Now think about this, because, you know, this is my doctor level is because of teaching history. That's what I got my doctorate in. You think about this, right? A lot of history teaching, a lot of people go, that's just boring, remembering a bunch of names and dates and facts of old dead people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be that. Or what you just said, could we take history, use it as ways to learn about things in the past that can inform our actions today? In other words, let's look at the past. Let's learn about activists that changed the world. And then let's apply that lesson that they learned today. Guess what? Anytime you teach history as a way to illustrate what it is you're living through currently, students don't ever say that's boring. What they say is boring is the read and write and arithmetic approach, which is you need to remember these names, you need to remember these dates, and you need to get an 80% on your test and forget the heck all about them after this test is over. Well, that's boring, but that's reading, writing, arithmetic. When you hear that pitch, people are saying, just teach kids the facts so they can forget them and move on and become an obedient worker.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Schlecker from Busted Pencils, a podcast that drops here Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at Civic Media. Dr. Tim, I have a question for you. So isn't education also about teaching kids how to think for themselves, and how to create, you know, creative arts? It just seems to get, you know, pushed off to the side, you know, and that, to me, that's a big part of education, is teaching these kids how to think and think outside the box or come up with something new.
I think when you say it that way, a lot of people, 90% of people go, absolutely, school is about helping kids learn to think.
Yeah.
What turns, though, and you say the current MAGA and the Republican is, okay, but we don't want you teaching them how to think, because we know the way you think, public school teacher, is that you're some kind of woke, gender bending kind of crazy person.
Yeah.
So we don't want you teaching them how to think. And so this idea, when you say schools should be about preparing kids to think, people go, yes, but who's thinking? And this is where we kind of come into this, because it's like, I don't want them to think like Schlecker does, because he would have kids organizing and trying to, you know, advocate for themselves to have a better than job and things like that.
A better society.
A better society. And this has been that hallmark of schooling for the longest time is what is the purpose? This is what we're asking. What is the purpose of schooling? Is it to give you a bunch of academic skills to then go out and be able to have a job? Is it to set you up to understand how the world is and how you're going to contribute and maybe even change the world? The answer is yes, both. Mm. And we get into an argument when either one side says, no, it's only about reading, writing, arithmetic, and we don't want you to think, or no, school is always only about helping you change the world. It's like, guess what? It's both. And anytime we get into an argument about one or the other, that means somebody is unhappy with the, I do believe I want kids to think, but I don't want them to think like you. Mm-hmm. And then we come into this role. But think about schooling. And this is when we get this. When do you remember school being great? When were some of your best times? My guess is that it wasn't about somebody who was really awesome at helping you learn to memorize. It was that teacher who actually pushed you in a direction that made you question the reality you're living and then asked you to maybe do something about it. Even just imagine doing something about it. There is nobody who will say, look back at that and go, yeah, that was a horrible way to learn. Everybody's like, that was when I was fully engaged.
Absolutely.
As a student. So Alan, thriving in a public school, these stories of 19 years are to say, guess what? There's a lot of good work going on in schools. And in fact, an institution that is set up to teach reading, writing, arithmetic can also be an institution where students learn how to take their place in the world and make the world a better place when they become a citizen in the world.
Tim, we've got a caller here. Let's go to Mark on the line right now. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning. That I can't help but think about Scott Walker and him trying to get rid of the Wisconsin idea, which was about turning students into thinkers, into citizens, and that it should be, I can remember in fifth grade, my Mrs. Mackey was talking about the death camps in Nazi Germany, and that and it should also be remembered that for the name grammar school, going back all the way to the the late 18th century, it wasn't about English grammar; it was about Latin and Greek grammar rather than. And they're actually teaching people the classics back in school back in those days.
Tim.
Mark, good to hear you, Mark. Mark was a regular caller on the show when we were at night. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, I love when you call and talk about this because he has the memories of when school was this whole idea. But yeah, the Wisconsin idea, right? You think about this and say, should schools be teaching in Wisconsin students the Wisconsin idea? Well, depends on who's in charge of what idea. What Wisconsin idea do you mean?
And
we say, with Scott Walker and particularly pushing the Act 10, which took away bargaining rights for teachers, a lot of that was this whole idea of teachers, your job isn't to prepare students to live in Wisconsin around the Wisconsin idea. Your job is to do your job, prepare them to take tests, prepare them to go to college, to go to trade school, prepare them to go out and be told what to do by those in the world who were in charge. And that was a push. And at the time, you can always hear that there's something, mystical, magical about remembering when schools used to be great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem is that it's a delusional memory that didn't really exist.
Exactly.
Because the idea of when things used to be, well, back when things used to be, guess what? They were really horrible also for a lot of other people.
Yeah, they really were. And I had my kids go through school. One is 25, one is 22. And so it's fairly recent. And I thought schools had improved incredibly since the days I was in school. They made these subjects interesting to them, and they got involved in society, understanding what this related to that. It was just an amazing experience to find that in schools today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils in just a moment.
And ask about how Act 10 actually involved these kids in education and brought teachers and children together.
Keep it right here at 92.7 WMDX. All night long you've been waiting to dance. Well, all night long you're going to have your chance. So don't sit at home just a twiddle in your thumbs. You can't resist the sound of the driving.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text REP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text REP to 321-321. That's REP to 321-321.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Wisconsin, Madison.
And we'll get back to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils in just a moment. But speaking of education, hey, we've got a couple of tickets we're going to be giving away in our 7 o'clock hour here to Late Night Catechism. It's an uproariously funny play that takes the audience back to their youth. The irrepressible sister teaches class to a room full of students. And this is playing at the Overture in the Playhouse there Friday, October 25th. That's this Friday, isn't it?
That's tomorrow.
Wow. 7:30.
All right.
We'll be giving away those tickets in our 7 o'clock hour. All right. Back to
Dr. Tim. We're talking to Dr. Tim, Busted Pencils, and a book, Thrive in a Public School, Alan Levy, the author, and he's a history teacher as well. And we're talking about how his students were energized by something Scott Walker did in the state, passing Act 10. And they participated in the protests around the Capitol, and I probably saw them, and I was there with them.
You were, right? It's like, wait, Act 10 produced something positive?
Yeah, imagine that, right?
Well, I mean, it is kind of sad to say that that did motivate activism in a way that had been, you know, largely been put to sleep. The idea Act 10, you know, the signature Scott Walker, which at the time was the whole idea of public school teachers could not collectively bargain. It was against the law to collectively bargain according to Act 10. And that set Wisconsin on fire when that happened, because that was such a move, and it to this day it's still in place, the whole idea of collective bargaining. That motivated teachers, that motivated communities to come together. And for Alan at the time, with his students at Horlick High, those students also rallied around the teacher's cause, because so many of those teachers at that time, particularly if you're a student, one of the students, a minority student, like a lot of the students in Horlick High, you saw your teachers as largely being in an advocacy place, who were really there for you. And this was an attack on your teachers. And so this motivated students to get involved, to actually advocate for making sure that schools and teachers are given the respect that they deserve. You know, lots of fighting, and I don't know if you would say that fight was won, because guess what? At the end of the day, now what, 10 years later, almost Act 10 still in place.
That's right. I think there might be a challenge coming up in regards to that, because, you know, other unions were left alone, and you can't somehow treat one union different from the other union. So I think that's working its way through the courts. But at the same time, it brought to light, I believe, you know, how teaching has changed, that the students actually love their teachers, admire them. You know, they go along with them. They love the way they're being helped in school. And then their teachers are attacked and vilified by somebody outside that, you know, they're not even familiar with politics that much, but they're being attacked, and they joined in, and they were out there, you know, holding hands and joining their teachers, and their teachers didn't encourage them to do it. They wanted to go out there and advocate.
Well, you know what, the way you just said that, though, too, that was actually one of the, you know, kind of retorts was, is those students wouldn't have been out there if their teachers didn't indoctrinate them into being in the, you know,
there you go.
You know, God forbid students have the wherewithal to advocate for something that they believe in. You know, it had to be motivated by those indoctrinating commie teachers, because those commie teachers, you know, and look, what are they out there protesting? They're protesting their Marxist communist way of life. And you're like, wait, okay, remember, this was on collective bargaining. I always used to say this too. It's like, so we made it illegal for people to sit down at a table and negotiate.
Right.
Think about, you know, that's what was outlawed. Negotiation was outlawed.
Right.
And, you know, that just to remind people, that's what Act 10 was. It was like, well, why would you negotiate, or why would you outlaw negotiation? Well, because that goes all the way back to what we were talking about. What is the purpose of schooling? What is the it's to teach you to be an obedient worker, to do what you're told. And this idea that you would have some type of ownership of what it means to be a worker, to actually ask your employer to treat you better, that's not the role of an employee. The role of an employee is to be happy they have a job, do the job the way the supervisor says, take a pay, and go away.
Yeah.
Boy, you turn that upside down.
And they did. And we were talking about indoctrination off the air, but let's bring it up here at this point. You guys mentioned indoctrination a number of times in this podcast for those who might be interested in listening to it. What are we talking about with indoctrination? Because, you know, it has a bad connotation. Where do we go with that? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well, we would say is we were trying to take that word back, because you're exactly right that it has a negative connotation. But so let's frame, you know, when we hear indoctrination, we typically believe that that's compelling people to do things that isn't something that we want them to do. Okay, well, what about democracy, citizenship, and fairness? Those are my goals. Can I indoctrinate you on those? And would you be okay with me indoctrinating you on fairness, democracy, and getting along with others?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, well, yeah. So we always, in Busted Pencils, we've got that out there. We'd say, hey, Johnny and Tim, we are the indoctrinators of democracy.
There you go.
Because we wanted to bring that back and say, hey, and if you want to be mad at us for indoctrinating democracy, great. Then that labels who you are then, because we're doctors of indoctrination for democracy. You don't like what we're doing? Great. We know you're a fascist now.
Exactly.
Okay. We have to leave it there.
To the bottom line.
Yes. All Dr. Right, Tim Slecker, thank you for being with us. You can catch Busted Pencils, the podcast, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at civicmedia.us. Jim Rice, sports historian, coming up in our next hour. Stay right here on 92.7 WMDX, the John and Gordy Show.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Brittany Merlot will be here with all things weather and wine. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company for all things sports. And then This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.